By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I know better than anyone here the difficulty of my subject. I know that through the centuries, men have not only debated, argued, fought over this subject, but they have shed blood over this subject. And I know that I am only a babe and the least worthy of his servants, but I feel that God has given me some light on this subject, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. And I feel that God has led me to preach on this subject, and therefore I'm attempting it. Now, I want to divide this text into four parts. First of all, we're going to look at Noah's faith. Then secondly, we're going to look at Noah's God. And then thirdly, we're going to look at Noah's obedience. And then fourthly, Noah's glory. Our text begins this way: by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. The text begins with Noah's faith, for in back of everything was his faith in God. Now, we'll be talking in a few moments about Noah's fear, but he feared God because he believed God. We'll be talking in a few moments about Noah's obedience, but he obeyed God because he believed God. We'll be talking about Noah's faithfulness in preaching the gospel when no one believed him, but he was faithful in preaching the gospel because he believed God. Back of all is Noah's faith. That's the reason it begins this way: by faith, Noah. By faith. Turn to Genesis 6. Now, I want you to look at this. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, Noah believed God before the flood. Noah believed God in ordinary life, in day-by-day living. It says in Genesis 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Now, the Scripture says four times the just shall live by faith. Noah wasn't just in himself. He was just in his Lord, in his Redeemer, in his Savior. The just shall live by faith. God would have never called Noah a just man if Noah did not believe. Noah believed God for his daily bread. Noah believed God in his daily walk. Faith was his normal attitude. He believed God. He was a just man. Read on. And he was perfect, that is, upright in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, no man is going to walk with God without faith. Look back at the text. In verse 6, it says in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. No man, no woman's going to please God or walk with God who does not believe God. So back of all of this, Noah's obedience, Noah's preaching, Noah's fear, Noah's preparation of the ark, back of all of it was his faith in God. He believed God. He believed God in ordinary life. I wish we could see this, that we not only need faith to build a building, we need faith to build a haystack. We not only need faith to preach, you need faith to plow. I'm talking about believing God in the common, ordinary things of life. Noah was a just man, an upright man, and a man that walked with God because he believed God. We need faith not only to walk with God, we need faith to walk with men. We not only need faith to die. Somebody said, I hope the Lord will give me dying faith. I hope he'll give me living faith. And if I have living faith, I'll have dying faith. All of us want faith for the crisis. That's the reason we have so many crises, is because we don't have faith in the ordinary things of life. Yes, you'll find Noah rising to the occasion when the great trial came, but you'll find Noah rising to the occasion when the great trial came because he believed God before it came. You see what I'm saying? He believed God. By faith, Noah. And Noah believed God's warnings. I hear people talking about believing the promises of God. I do. I trust that I do. I want to claim the promises of God. Well, I'm saying this, you can't have faith in God's promises if you don't believe God's warnings. Noah moved with fear to prepare an ark because he believed God's warnings. He who does not believe God will punish sin, how can he believe God will pardon sin? He who does not believe that God will cast unbelievers into hell, how can he believe that God will take believers to heaven? He who does not believe there will be a flood, why would he waste his time preparing an ark? Noah believed God. He believed God in the ordinary things of life. He believed God when he plowed his fields. He believed God when he tended his sheep. He believed God when he blessed his children. He believed God when he sat down at the table. He believed God when he lay down to rest. He believed God in the common, ordinary things of life. Therefore, when God came to him with a warning, when God came to him with a trial, he believed God then too. And watch this. He believed God though no one else believed God, and no one else followed him. As far as we know, as far as we can judge from the scripture, for 120 years, Noah preached, Noah believed, Noah built his ark, and Noah stood alone. 120 years. As far as we know from the scripture, and I'm sure that it's true, Noah was held up for ridicule. Here's a man miles from any ocean or river or lake building an ark, three-story ark. Here's a man talking about it raining so much that God's going to send a flood. They never had a drop of rain fallen. The water, earth was watered by other means. His faith was held up for mockery, for derision, for ridicule, and yet he stood alone. How difficult it is for us to stand alone. When our faith is mocked, when our faith is ridiculed, how difficult it is. We're embarrassed, we're ashamed. But Noah stood. And we think it's hard to live one life. One 60-year life is so difficult. Noah lived two 60-year lives through this trial. 120 years. He stood alone 120 years. We find it difficult to stand alone 120 days. He preached without results for 120 years. We moan and groan and complain if we preach without results for 120 weeks or days. We pray about a matter 6 months and get no answer and grow discouraged and figure God's not hearing prayer anymore. Noah, for 120 years, waited for God's answer. He believed God. He waited on God. This is a day of impatience. We want it right now. We want God to work right now. We want God to move right now. We want God to expand our facilities and our influence. And right now, right now. And if it's not done today or next week or next month or next year, we'll get a new pastor, we'll get a new board of deacons, or we'll get a new way of doing things. We'll try a different method. Noah believed God, and he just kept building his ark, waiting on God. Noah's faith. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Oh, for a faith that can wait on God. Oh, for a faith that in every area of life, ordinary life, believe God. Walk with God. Notice the second thing, Noah's God. It says here, Noah believed God, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, Noah had not seen the rain, but God had. Noah had not seen the flood. He'd never seen a flood. He didn't know what a flood was. But God had, and God knew. Noah had never seen destruction. But God saw it, because God ordained it, because God decreed it. Noah was a creature of time. God is eternal. And Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, that is, Noah had not seen them, but God had seen them. Now, I want you to turn to some scriptures with me in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. The flood which was coming, God purposed, God planned, God decreed, and God sent, as He does all things. As He is the first cause of all things spring from Him, directly or indirectly. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I am God, there's none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, not yet done, not yet accomplished. But God says, I declare those things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I will do my pleasure. Where's your God, they said to David. David said, our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased, in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Have I not spoken, God said, and shall I not do it? He worketh all things, Paul said, according to the good pleasure of His own will. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16, the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Now, men do what they want to do. But in doing what they want to do, they do what God Almighty decrees and purposes and plan. In Acts chapter 4, it says here in verse 26, the kings of this earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, everybody were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Almighty God is the first cause of all things. Even the wrath of man will praise the Lord. There is nothing that takes place in this universe that's not on God's blueprint. There's nothing that occurs for which God has to go back and search and see if it was in the plan, if it was in the purpose. It's there. I declare the end from the beginning. This is Noah's God. By faith, Noah, moved with fear and being warned of God of things not seen. Noah hadn't seen them, but God had seen them. God had purposed them. God had planned them. Let me show you a picture of that in Genesis 45. Now, you know how that Joseph got down in Egypt. You know how he came there and his brothers had sold him into slavery. He'd gone to prison. He had a rough and rocky road to the throne. But God preserved Egypt through Joseph, and he preserved even the nation of Israel through Joseph. And Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and he said in verse 5 of Genesis 45, now he says, don't be grieved, and don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me here, but God. That boy Joseph came out in the field, and those wicked brethren, they didn't look up the scripture to find out what they ought to do with Joseph. Their wicked hearts told them what to do with him. They did what they wanted to do. They did it because they hated him. They did it because they despised him, and they roughly threw him into a pit, sold him to some strangers coming through those parts, sold their own brother into slavery, and cut up his coat and poured blood on it and took it home and told his daddy he was dead. Rotten, scheming, conniving, evil men. And then Joseph went down to Egypt and wound up in prison and then on the throne. And he said, it's God that brought me here, not you. Same thing with that cross. They nailed Christ to a cross because they despised and hated him. But in doing so, they fulfilled the will of God. Now turn to Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph talking to his brethren here, he says, fear not, Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass. All right, let's go back to our text, Hebrews chapter 11. Noah's faith, he believed God. Noah's God, absolutely, unquestionably, immutably, totally sovereign in all things, who doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I'll show you my glory. I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. I'll be merciful, but I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God's on the throne. We're told to come boldly before the throne of grace, and we emphasize the grace part, and thank God we can. But remember this, it's a throne of grace. It's a throne. God is sovereign. King of kings, Lord of lords. But now let's look at Noah's obedience in verse 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things God had decreed, God had purposed, God had ordered, what did Noah do? Moved with fear, prepared an ark, obeyed the Lord. Now Noah knew that God would send a flood. God told him so. Noah knew that God had made a covenant with him. God said, I'll make a covenant with you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did he know that? God told him so. He knew it. Noah knew that his house would be saved. That's right. Turn back to Genesis. Let me show you that. Noah knew that his house would be saved. Right here in Genesis chapter 6, God told him so. In Genesis chapter 6, God even said in verse 3, man's days will be 120 years. That's how long it was. In verse 18 of Genesis 6, God said, with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark. Our Lord Jesus said, I have many sheep. I have many people. Them I shall bring. They shall hear my voice. They shall come to me. You shall enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with them. They're all going into the ark. Eight souls shall be saved by water. Noah knew that. God told him so. What was his reaction? I'm glad he didn't live in 1976 and become obsessed with a warped fatalism and Calvinism that is being preached in this day, or he would have sat down in a rocking chair and said, well, there's nothing I can do. If God's going to send a flood, it'll come. If God's going to save me, he'll save me. If God's going to save my boys, he'll save them. No use me doing anything about it. What did Noah do? He moved. He moved. He knew these things, but he moved. And he moved in awe and fear of God. And he obeyed God. He obeyed every command concerning that ark. He carefully prepared it. And when it was complete, he entered it. His faith was not idle, but moved him in fear to obedience of God's commandments. Now, you and I know that God's going to judge this world. He says so in his word. You and I know that God Almighty is going to show mercy to some people. I know that. He delights to show mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. We know that Jesus Christ, his Son, has been given a people. That's what the Scripture says. I don't know who they are, and you don't either. God knows. Christ knows. He knew from the beginning who should believe on him and who wouldn't, who would crucify him. Christ is that ark. Christ is that city of refuge. Christ is that Savior. And we know this from the Word of God. All who walk to be saved are commanded to do what? Noah, I made a covenant with you. I'm going to destroy this world. But you're going to be saved. You and your wife and your three sons and their wives with thee. Noah, build an ark. Now here are the instructions and here are the dimensions and here are the blueprints. You get busy, Noah. What has God said to you? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water and drink. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You see the wickedness. Some people think it's glorifying to God to sit down over there and say, well, salvation's of the Lord. Noah didn't think that was glorifying to God. Noah did as he was commanded. And I'll tell you this, I know God cannot lie. And the Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, God will save you. Noah, build an ark, get in it, you'll be saved. Now you turn to Matthew 11. I want to show you a scripture. And you go home and before you pop off about it too much, you spend as much time studying as I did, will you? You spend as much time. You read as many commentaries, you check as many references before you pop off about the scripture, you study it. Now listen to it. In Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. That is, it's gotten by force. And the violent take it by force. What's that mean, preacher? It means this right here. Those who know the terror of the Lord, those who know the certainty of God's word, those who know God's judgment against sin, those who know the beauty of Christ, and those who know the glory of His kingdom, and those who know the faithfulness of God's Word, press, press with zeal and enthusiasm into the kingdom of God. Like Jacob, who said, "Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me." Like blind Bartimaeus, who cried, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet." "I won't be quiet." Like the woman with the issue of blood, who crawled through the crowd, who crawled to Him, who reached out with her hand, "If I can just touch Him, get back, woman, if I can just touch Him, I'll be healed. I'm going to touch Him, whatever it costs. I'm going to touch Him." That's what it means. Now, let me tell you this with all my heart. If the kingdom of God, if salvation from sin, if knowing Jesus Christ, if being healed of your sins, if being delivered from condemnation, if being rescued from God's wrath means no more to you, then you can sit down and not seek it and pursue it and cry after it and search for it and beg for it and hunt it. You've missed it. You don't know what salvation is. No, you don't. If it does not fire your soul, if it does not burn within you, if you don't spend your time seeking the Lord and examining yourself and giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, if you can sit down and rest in the fact, "Well, I hope when the smoke clears away and when the dust dies down, I'm on the right side." Boy, it means more to me than that. You don't know God. You don't know the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, "I persuade men. I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren. Lord, if you're not going to do anything for the people, blot me out of your book." That's how important it was to Moses. Don't let them perish. You offer a starving man a piece of bread, he'll take your hand off trying to get it. The reason you're not reaching for the grace of God and seeking the kingdom of God and pursuing the Lord is you are not hungry enough yet. You offer a drowning man a life preserver. Did you ever watch anybody drown? It's a horrible sight. You offer him a life preserver and see how polite he is and how nice he is and how he stands back and says, "Well, if it's the will of God for me to be saved, I'll be saved." He'll climb over your back getting to it. That's the reason you have to knock a drowning man out. He'll drown you trying to get saved. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent, the zealous, the enthusiastic press into it. "Who touched me?" Christ said. "Why, Lord, everybody's brushing against you. Somebody touched me. I feel power going out of me. Some hungry, some disease, some eager woman touched you, Lord." There she is right there. "Great is thy faith." Zacchaeus climbed up a tree so he could see the Lord. Most of you won't even go to church on Sunday. This woman came for miles just to get to the Lord. You offer a dying man medicine, he'll zealously take it. Now I want to show you an illustration. You know this well as I know it. Maybe you've just never looked at it. Jacob and Esau. Here's God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Jacob knew the value of that blessing. He knew the value of it. He knew what it meant. He knew what it meant to have the Father put the right hand on him and give him a blessing. Make him the leader of the family. Make him the leader of the people. Give him the position of priest of the home. The oldest one, the head man, he knew what that meant. And he wanted it. He desired it. He fought for it. He'd go to any length to get it. And he got it. But God had decreed it. You see what I'm saying? The children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, it was said to their mother, Rebecca, the elder gonna serve the younger. But God didn't come down and say, Isaac, don't you bless Esau, you bless Jacob. In fact, Isaac did his best not to bless Jacob. He wasn't fixing to bless Jacob. He was going to bless Esau. But Jacob wanted that blessing. And Jacob was determined to have that blessing. And Jacob fought to get that blessing, and Jacob got it. But God had already said he's going to have it. What about Esau? Esau cared nothing for that birthright. In fact, he exchanged it. He trifled with it. He exchanged it, you remember, for a bowl of beans. It was not important to him. He cared nothing for it. He had no interest in it till after it was gone. Let me show you. Turn to Genesis 27. In Genesis 27, the Bible says he sought it with tears. But it was too late. It was gone. And there are going to be people up yonder at the judgment who are going to cry, Lord, we did this, that, and the other. Open the gate, Lord. It's shut after it's gone. Genesis 27, he came in verse 32. And Isaac, his father, said, Who are you? Esau said, Well, I'm your son. I'm your firstborn son, Esau. And Isaac, trembling exceedingly, said, Well, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I've eaten of all before thou camest, and I've blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. It's gone. It's over. I've blessed him, and he's going to stay blessed. And Esau heard those words, It's all over. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, Oh, my father, bless me. Bless me. Too late, son. You trifled with it. You fooled around. You didn't care. It wasn't important to you. I've already blessed your brother. It's too late. But God decreed it. You see that? You see that? Before the children were born, neither having done any good or evil, it was said to her, The elder shall serve the younger. Noah, there's going to be a flood. Noah built an ark, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Old Jacob on that birthright. And all the way through his life it was that way. There were so many uncommendable things about him, but one, he wanted that birthright. He wanted that blessing. And he said to the Lord, even God smote him on the hip and crippled him. He limped for the rest of his life because he wouldn't let go. I will not let thee go. Seek me. He said, when you seek me with all your heart, God said, you'll be found. Do you call seeking the Lord with all your heart, sitting down in a rocking chair and waiting for the lightning to strike? That's not seeking the Lord. It's not important. You're like Esau. Well, if you get it, okay. If you don't, that's all right too. Well, after it's gone, you won't think it's all right. Oh, that great and exceeding bitter cry. Father, bless me too. Too late, son. Too late. But God had decreed it. Now you look back at our text. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. You've been warned, I've been warned of things not seen. I haven't seen this world destroyed, but God has. I haven't seen all the nations gathered before Him in judgment, but God has. I haven't seen men taken to glory and men sent to hell, but God has, and I believe it, and I'm moving with fear. And I'm reading this book, and I'm seeking the Lord. And I'm praying that God will give me a little light and a little wisdom, and God will increase my faith, and God will reveal Christ to me, and God will give me some enthusiasm and some zeal to seek the Lord. Noah's glory. All right. He saved his house by which he condemned this world. Noah's going to condemn us. The Queen of Sheba's going to condemn us. The men of Nineveh are going to condemn us. If the mighty works had been done in them which had been done in you, they would have sought the Lord. They would have repented a long time ago. If they had the light you've got and the knowledge you've got and the revelation you've got, they would have been standing today. And Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I look within me, and I see no hope. I see only sin, inability. I look without me, and I see no strength. I see no good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. They're altogether become unprofitable. All like sheep have gone their own way. I look beneath me and I see hell moving up to meet us at our coming. But I look above me and I see a city. What did it say here? It says he looked for a city. Verse 10, Abraham looked for a city. I see a city. I see a city of promise. I see also a city of refuge. I see a city of hope. I see a city of deliverance. I see a Savior. And I'm not willing to surrender to that which is within me and that which is without me and commit my soul to that which is beneath me. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to cry. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to beg for mercy. I'm going to believe Him. And if I go to hell, I'll go to hell seeking the Lord and clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's my responsibility. And God has promised. God has promised. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, not after the door is closed, not after judgment's here. If we knock, it shall be open. If we ask, we'll receive. You know what he said? And when you come to the end of the whole thing, you know what you'll find out? God decreed it. God decreed it. But that's His business. This is my business. Our Father in heaven, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent press into it by force. We pray that Thou would put within these hearts of ours a fear of the Lord, like Noah, as he moved with fear. Thou would put within these hearts of ours some understanding of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the consequence of evil, rebellion against Thee. Put within these hearts of ours a panting, and a, like David, whose soul panted for the living God. Put within our hearts a desire to be healed, to have spiritual eyes like Bartimaeus, who would not quit crying. The thief on the cross who begged for mercy. Make it the end and goal of our very being. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. In His precious name we pray, for His glory. Amen.